I just feel really excited to get to speak today, and I'm very aware that there's people in here who've maybe not been in a church for a long time and maybe wondering what all this stuff is about. You know, why are people still following God and worshipping God in this day and age, you know? What's the relevance? So I'm hoping today to just share something from my heart, something that I hope will encourage you, no matter how long you've been a Christian or whether you're not a regular churchgoer, whoever you are, whatever stage of life you're at. My heart is just that I can introduce something of my God to you that would really encourage you and inspire you. Because I can tell you that for me, he's so real. So, so real. And the things he's done in my life have been incredible. The fact that I'm standing up here is incredible. It's not something I naturally love to do necessarily, be up here, but I'm learning to love it more. But what I want to share today is a psalm that I think everybody in here has probably heard, and I've heard it a million times, but I can honestly say, in all the years I've been a Christian, I've never really studied it in any great depth or even properly understood it. I just knew it. So I've got a little prop here that Ellie lent me. Support me. This is not meant to make you feel guilty if you're having a lamb roast later, by the way. It's fine. Don't worry. So the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. It's just amazing what the Lord showed me out of this psalm this week. So I'm just going to read that first and go into it in a little bit more detail. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this was a psalm that was written by David, so he knew a little bit about shepherds because he was a shepherd boy long before he became one of the mightiest kings in Israel. He was a shepherd, considered one of the lowliest jobs usually given to the youngest brother in a family. So he understood exactly what it meant to be a shepherd. He knew what it was to be there in all weathers and what the role of a shepherd was. So I've been reading a little bit about shepherds. What do? They guide, they correct, they protect, they provide. If you have confidence in your shepherd, you don't need to worry about where things are coming from because he's got it sorted for you. You're safe, you're nourished, you're calm, and you're happy. And there are two ways that the Bible talks about the Lord as our shepherd. Firstly, he laid down his life for his sheep, and his sheep know his voice. And there's an intimacy because the shepherd spends a lot of time with his sheep. He knows the sheep. We know from scriptures where it talks about Jesus as the shepherd, how he would leave the 99 and go after the one. And if you're the one, Jesus is pursuing you. He would go after you because you are not so lost that you can't be found. Nobody in here in this room is so lost that they cannot be found by a loving Savior. He will pursue you and pursue you and pursue you. There's no way he's going to just let you fall. And something about sheep, they do have a tendency to stray. Just seems to be in their nature. Does that remind you of anybody? We have a bit of a tendency to stray, to maybe want to go and explore different pastures. But let me tell you, Jesus knows the right pastures for us to be in. He knows exactly where we are going to be the most nourished because he is the ultimate shepherd. Absolutely. So it's about relationship. Very much so. Tino's my technical person today. I shall not want. What that means is I shall not lack. Now, I used to think when I was a kid that meant that I'd never have to want anything. I could have anything I wanted any time. But this is about the shepherd knowing exactly what his sheep need, exactly what nourishment, exactly what's right for them and what their needs are. Imagine a shepherd being so fabulous, knowing his sheep so well that he knows exactly what you need. I think that's incredible. Absolutely incredible. That's the kind of shepherd that I want to follow because he's just awesome. Okay.
I love these next two. He leads me beside still waters. In Hebrew, the words for still waters are my menachot, which means restful waters. Our shepherd wants to lead us to a place of rest, a place of trust, a place of confidence, a place where you can rely on him and focus on him without anything that will distract you. He wants to take the heavy load from your life and replace it with his everlasting peace and rest. And the idea of the pastures that he talks about, that rest, they're the best pastures where the most tender grass is to be found. I mean, have you ever watched sheep? They just seem to eat for hours, don't they? They just eat and eat and eat and eat when you watch a field of sheep. And sometimes you look and think, gosh, they don't seem to do much else, but they seem to be having a great time because that's what they are designed to do. They are designed to feast in that way. And just like those sheep, we are designed to eat of that tender grass. In other words, we're designed to be with our Father. We're designed to be with Jesus. And when we're not with him, something doesn't sit right with us. We can't always explain what that is. But the guys who've been baptized today would be able to testify to that, that without Jesus, things just didn't feel quite right. They felt lost. They weren't quite sure what they were doing, what the direction was. But that's because they needed to be brought into the fold with that awesome shepherd. Okay. And just a little bit more on the water that, because I love all the water analogies in the Bible, because Jesus talks about a different kind of water. It's not just about that water that we drink, it's about everlasting water, a water that will never run dry. I absolutely love that. There is more than enough of God for all of us in here. He loves all of us with an abundant love, and he's got just something so special and unique for every individual in here that's for you. He loves us as individuals. Yes, we're here as a body and we're a group, but he knows each of you in here by name. He always has from the beginning of time. He's known each and every one of you by name. Man, if that doesn't stir something in your heart. You know, when you think of the millions of people that have been created through time and yet he knows me. Wow. He knows everything about me. He understands me. That gives me such confidence when I go to him because he already knows what's in my heart. He knows how I tick. He knows how I think about things. What an awesome shepherd. Absolutely wonderful. He restores my soul. What that literally means is he causes my life to return. He reanimates my spirit. He encourages it and excites it to a new effort. So it's about healing of the soul. It's about waking up your spirit. And we need to have that restoration all of the time. We need to spend time with the Lord every day, because if it's just when we come to church that we kind of focus on him and at no other time, it's not enough to sustain you. It's not enough to just listen to someone else speaking or sing the songs. It's a daily walk in with Jesus. And you just imagine, you know, Jesus and his sheep, and he wants to walk this closely with you through your life, side by side, because he knows you, because he loves you, because he doesn't want you to stray. He doesn't want you to be lost. He doesn't want you to be in constant despair and darkness. He's a shepherd that wants to keep you close because he's got so much for you. And can you imagine if, as a shepherd, if your sheep kept going off and ending up in the wrong field and you're saying, but look, the grass is greener over here. This is where the good stuff is. I've got this field for you. It must be heartbreaking. It must be heartbreaking when you see that as a shepherd and you think, what's up with these sheep? What are you doing over there? Look what I've got for you. You know, and that's for all of us in here, what he's got. Absolutely awesome, awesome things. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And that's about guidance. He conducts me in the straight path that leads always back to him. He doesn't want you to wander into ruin. He wants you to submit to him so you don't go astray. But the wonderful thing about him, about the shepherd, is that if you do go astray, he still chases after you. He doesn't just think, right, do you know what? If you're going to go off over there, fine. Enjoy it. It's not where I want you to be, but whatever, you've made your choice. He doesn't do that. He doesn't ever, ever wash his hands of us. Not once has he washed his hands of anybody in this room. No matter what you've done, no matter how far you think you might be from him at this moment in your life, you're not as far away as you think. It's us that have moved away, but he's been right there the whole time. He's not left your side. And that's the just the awesomeness and the relationship of that shepherd to the sheep. For his name's sake, that's all about purpose. In the name of Jesus, doing all as unto the Lord. Everything that he's got for us, everything that we do, everything that life's about, ultimately is about giving glory to God as our creator, as that shepherd, the one who designed us, the one who knows us, the one who loves us. It's for his name. So his name be glorified. And wow, what a name. You know, some of the things that we've prayed for in our lives and we've said in the name of Jesus. Wow, do things move in our life? I mean, put your hand up if you can really testify to that in this room. When you've prayed in the name of Jesus and you've seen healing, you've seen miracles in your life, you've seen things come to pass that in the natural just did not look possible. But God is all about restoring in his name. And there are so many testimonies in here of restoration within families. Just incredible what God's done over the last few years in some families, just bringing that restoration. Just wonderful, wonderful name. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The Hebrew word for shadow of death is salmawet, which means darkness or dark shadows. We've all walked, and we will walk again, dark times, difficulties, things that happen in life that just feel like they're going to consume us and overwhelm us, that we just think, there's no way through this. I can't see a way back from this. This is too painful. This is too hard. And yet, even though we walk through those things and we feel tested in those things, our faith is shaken, as Rebecca was sharing earlier. But what comes next? I will fear no evil. Because we're protected. We're protected by our shepherd. You know, shepherds have had to fight off some pretty serious adversaries, wolves. I mean, they literally lay their life on the line for their sheep, which is what our shepherd did, the ultimate sacrifice. That's the degree to which he wants to protect us. That's how much our Father loves us, that he sent his Son to die for us, because he doesn't want anybody to be lost. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. And there's real hope in that. We don't need to fear. For thou art with me, you are with me. As I said before, he's with you every step of the way. He doesn't wander off. He doesn't get fed up with you. He's not angry with you. You know, if you've got a picture of, you know, a shepherd who's going to hit you over the head all the time, every time you make a mistake, that's not what it's about. Yes, there's correction, and we come on to the rod and the staff in a minute. But that's done out of love to keep you in that right path, to keep you in the right field where all the nourishment is and everything that you need. But he's with you all of the time. Wherever you go, whatever place you're in, when you leave this building today, he walks with you. He goes into the workplace. He goes into school. He goes into your family. And sometimes it's just as simple as saying, I know you're with me, Lord. I don't know what to do right now in this situation, but I know you're with me. Just help me. Help me in this. And just watch what he does. Just watch how he turns things around in your family life, in your work life. You know, we have difficult situations that we go through. I'm in a new job at the moment. I've been 10 weeks in this job. It's the most challenging job I've ever had in my life. I have never met so many strong characters in my life. You know, and I have to chair meetings where it all just kicks off. People are almost physically fighting. I mean, unbelievable some of the scenes that I've seen. And I'm having to just really draw on God and just saying, look, I know that this job is of you. I really believe that. Not quite sure what I'm doing here sometimes, but just show me my part in this. And knowing that he's with me, I can go into those meetings with a lot more confidence, thinking, hang on, I'm going into this meeting with Jesus. I don't need to be intimidated. I don't need to worry about other people's responses. I can only think about me and do what I feel is right for me. And it just changes your whole perspective when you have that daily awareness that you are not on your own. Changes everything. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. So in shepherd terms, it's the rod of correction and the staff of support. The shepherd uses a rod to discipline the sheep and a staff to direct the sheep. So if a sheep's headed off a cliff, shepherd uses a rod and staff to make sure it doesn't plunge. Sounds like a good thing to me. When you're heading off a cliff, God will bring discipline and direction in your life to keep you from falling. It's not condemning, it's comforting, because somebody loves you enough to tell you when you're headed in the wrong direction. That's the kind of God who loves us. That's the kind of God who comforts us, the kind of God who gives us hope. You know, and I've experienced the discipline of God before in my life, and he's corrected me and brought me back onto the right path. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to know that someone's got your back like that. Absolutely wonderful. Okay, we're coming to my favourite verse now. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I never really understood what that was about, to be honest. I always thought it was a bit strange. But it's about provision in the midst of troubles. He gives us everything we need to be sustained in times of distress and loss. So you could say it's something like this. God, you arrange, you set in order, ordain and furnish with great attention to detail a feast of all sorts of provision that is piled high and stretches out a long way, right in the middle of all my distress, my pangs of trouble and my afflictions. I just think that is the most incredible picture. That in the midst of things where maybe you feel far from God, he's there setting out this long table, this feast. And that's something you can kind of throw back at the enemy, because the enemy's trying to destroy you. The enemy doesn't want you to know that you're loved. The enemy doesn't want you to know that you're protected. The enemy doesn't want you to know that God walks with you wherever you go. He wants to convince you that God's cross with you. He wants to convince you you're on your own. But you can be assured, and you can say back to devil, whatever you're throwing at me, I have this feast laid out before me, provision of everything that I need. I am loved, I am favoured, and you're not getting me because I am with my shepherd. I'm safe, he's got my back. I just love that. There's another verse in the Bible that says, now shall my head be lifted up above all my enemies round about me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. So whatever the devil means for harm, despair, or loss of hope, just remember the idea of that lavish feast that is set out for you and for me. Oh, look at the time. Right, very quickly, go to the last bit. You anoint my head with oil. That's about empowerment. So the origin of anointing was from a practice of shepherds. Lice and other insects would often get into the wool of sheep, and when they got near the sheep's head, they could burrow into the sheep's ears and kill the sheep. So ancient shepherds poured oil on the sheep's head. This made the wool slippery, making it impossible for insects to get near the sheep's ear because the insects would slide off. It's great, isn't it? From this, anointing became symbolic of blessing, protection, and empowerment. And there's loads of examples in the Bible where the Lord anointed. The Lord commanded the prophet Samuel to take a horn of oil and anoint David to be king in the place of Saul. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. So it's all about that anointing, the anointing for your calling in life, which is unique to each of us. Even if you have similar gifts and talents to somebody else in this room, they will still be used in a different way. You know, I've sat there before and thought, yeah, you know, I love to sing. I used to sing in the worship band, but I sit there and think, oh, there's better singers than me, though. But it's not about that, because God maybe wants to use that in a different way to bless people. You know, everybody in here has got a unique calling. Nobody else can do your calling. Nobody else at all. Even if they seem to have similar skill set, similar gifts, they can't do what God's got for you to do. And he anoints us for that. It's a wonderful thing. It sets us apart for his service. By being set apart by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that doesn't mean that we don't go wrong. It doesn't mean that we always live up to our calling. David failed, but he still affirmed his calling in the psalm and fulfilled his vocation. Moses failed, but he persevered in his leadership. Aaron failed, but he still served the Lord to the end of his life, passed on his priesthood to his sons to succeed him. even when the going is tough in our lives and we feel we've failed, we can rely upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit and is overflowing through us. God can use us despite our failures. And our cup runs over. There's an old hymn that I saw, and the words were something like, I drink from the saucer because my cup has overflowed. I thought that was awesome. I love that analogy. It's brilliant. I drink from the saucer. But that's the abundance, that anointing, that Holy Spirit that comes upon you that you need daily. You need that experience of God. You need that presence of God in your life so that it overflows, so that you can draw on that. So you've got the joy, the grace, the love, the acceptance, everything that comes from that for you, but also for those around you. And I know for myself, when I've been in the presence of the Lord, I'm a lot nicer person. And I'm a lot more in tune with what he's trying to do. So those meetings in work, if I've worshipped before I go in or I pray, I'm different in those meetings. I don't let myself get all defensive if someone's on the attack and these kind of things. Because that abundance is there. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Okay, last bit really quickly. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, I didn't really understand that one for years as a kid. I used to think somebody called grace and somebody called mercy was sort of following me around, 50 yards behind me maybe. That's not what it's saying. So there's a word, the Hebrew word for follow is radaf. It means to pursue, to set off after someone in order to catch them. So God's goodness and mercy do not follow 50 yards behind me every day. They are pursuing me in order to catch me. So a bit like if the police were after you to give you a speeding ticket, goodness and mercy are pursuing you all the time. Isn't that wonderful to think that that's happening on a daily basis for you? No matter how far away you feel, they are after you. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's security, to know that that's where we're going to be for the rest of our time, just with the Lord. Eternity. So let me just tell you something about this God, because this God that this psalm talks about, he's real. You know, David knew that, and he used this wonderful, wonderful metaphor of the shepherd and the sheep, because he understood it, because he was a shepherd. He understood what it meant. And I just think this psalm is incredible. It's come alive to me in the last couple of weeks and just become my favourite. Even though I've heard it loads of times before, I'd never really got it before. But I think it's got absolutely everything in there that we need. And if you're sat here today and you don't really know Jesus, you're not sure what it's all about, you know, perhaps something's touched your heart today, then please come and talk to me or Rob or any of the leaders after church. Just talk to somebody and say, you know, I want to know a little bit more. You know, come and ask questions, because he's a real and present God. He's the most relevant thing I can think of in society today. You know, we can think he's completely irrelevant. Some God in the sky has got nothing to do with what's going on in the world. But he's present. He's here. He's present within those who've given their lives to him. And he's working to bring men back to himself because he loves them. And he will, until the end of time, he will be pursuing men. And he will not stop. He won't stop, because that's the kind of shepherd he is. He's just going to keep pursuing and pursuing, because he does not want anyone to be lost. Amen.